This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSCs that works at Tab, and he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Happy to have him here because I don't know it all. And Bob's seen a lot in the field with our client base, obviously. Feel free to get online. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And, of course, if you're listening on the stream all over the country, WTIC will pay for it. And the longer the distance, the more fun we have with the phone bill. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. There's always stuff in the news when it comes to technology. And we enjoy talking about some of the crazy things that are going on out there in the technology world. Here's one that I found interesting. So, you know that Apple movie you bought on the iStore there? Well, it turns out that if the licensing terms change, the movie you purchased vanishes. So, you thought you bought the movie. Apple said you bought the movie. You paid for the movie. You go to your library. It's gone. So, it turns out that the iStore and Apple have different licensing rules with each of these movies that they were selling you. And sometimes they just go away because the license rights for the movies have been removed. And you really have nothing you can do about it, even though it should be illegal. I'm sure Blumenthal's all over this. This is one of those Blumenthal issues that he loves to deal with. You bought your movie and then it disappears and Apple will do this for you. They'll give you $6 if you want to rent another movie. even though you paid far more than $6 for that movie when you purchased it. Because if you go online at any of these online systems, you can buy a movie for $20-$25, put it in your quote-unquote library. But it just turns out that, you know, just like anything else when it comes to the cloud or anything you don't physically have in your hand, they giveth and they taketh away. Just look out for that EULA when you're buying. You know, Apple reserves the right to say, we don't own this anymore and we'll take your money anyways. And they say it really quickly with lawyers. I'll put the link up here for you so you can read the whole sad story. But this poor guy, you know, is pretty upset that a bunch of his movies just went poof. And it could happen to you. So I have no way to tell you how to fix it because you can't, quote unquote, download the movie and back it up or put it somewhere else because it's within your iTunes store, I guess. So if it happens to go away on you, all you can do is kiss that money goodbye, I guess. It was all vaporware to begin with. You were just borrowing it, even though they told you you bought it. So there's that for Apple. What do you got, Bob?
Oh, you remember those $4 batteries that Apple decided to lower the price on? They were charging $79 for them.
$29.
No. They were charging $79. But they lowered the price to do you a favor because it cost them $4.
To $29.
Down to $29.
Right. And this is for the whole iPhone 6 debacle where they were throttling your phone.
Right, when it got down to where the battery life was down to 80%.
Right. They'd throttle your phone.
They'd throttle you back to 40%.
Right. And then, of course, you thought your phone was bad, you'd go ahead and buy the new one because it was lighter and faster and a little thinner. And they got a new purchase out of it. Now what's going on with these batteries?
So, if you haven't changed the battery on your iPhone.
iPhone 6, right?
It's iPhone 6.
Yeah.
Do it before December 31st. Because the price is going to go up from $29 to $69.
Oh, there you go. That magic number. Well, I wonder why they're doing that. Might they have a new phone coming out?
Oh, yeah. They got the new they got three phones coming out.
Yeah.
But they're not going to have G5.
No.
Okay.
No, I heard
they're
that.
Not going to have G5.
5G, you mean?
5G.
Yeah.
They're going to do that around 2020.
That'll be the next phone, so you'll have to...
Supposedly, they're working on perfecting. I'm doing air quotes. Perfecting it before they put it into their...
So 5G actually is going to be revolutionary. 5G hopefully will allow us to kick the broadband wired companies to the curb as an option as well, because what happens with 5G is it's basically a wireless system. And you'll need a lot of wireless transmitters all over the place. So there's a company actually in Boston that I'm trying to get on the show to talk about it, where they're putting these wireless transmitters on their buildings. And if you're part of this building, you get this great, great, super fast service for low cost, all wireless broadband. I can go look up the actual bandwidth. But the more this occurs, the less you're going to need even a fiber connection, a broadband connection. You're not going to need anything. And hopefully we have competing 5G services. So you're not stuck with just one. But in the wireless world, you do have a lot of competition right now. So let's hope that with that competition continuing, we now add 5G to the mix. Now you literally can cut that cable because you're going to have a 5G connection.
Oh, competition.
It's a beautiful thing. And you basically put this 5G. And I'll find that article from that Boston company. I can't think of it right now.
But I'll bet you you're not going to pay for speed. You're going to pay per gigabyte.
That's the problem. How many megabytes they're going to charge you for.
I don't think that's a problem. I think that's actually good. Because, you know, you'll pay for
what
you
use. If the monthly's fair. Yeah, I agree.
If I buy that service.
Yeah.
And I download one movie a week.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
do.
Somebody else is doing like 10 a day.
Yeah.
You know, why should they charge them the same price they charge me?
I agree.
You know?
As long as the connection fee is fair, like, you know, $30-$40 to connect, and then you pay for what you use.
Correct.
If the connection fee is $200 and then they pay on top of that for what you use, then it's back to a car payment again. We don't need a car payment to get internet. It needs to be more fair. I agree with you. I don't mind paying for the megabit.
Right.
That's true. That's the fair way to go.
Yeah, we should pay the same to get access.
Right.
And then pay for what we use.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like my water bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I use more water than you. I'm going to get a bigger bill.
You should.
Unless they give me the discount for a quantity discount.
That's not the way it's supposed to work. That's not the way it's supposed to work. So what else you got there, Bob? Anything else in the news you want to bring up?
I got a couple are that kind of segue into each other.
Yeah.
Google's Dragonfly would reportedly collect Chinese citizens' phone numbers.
Mm.
A prototype for China's censored search engine would connect users' searches to their personal numbers, The Intercept reports.
Nasty.
A prototype for Google's censored search engine in China would reportedly collect users' queries to their phone numbers, making it easy for the government to track their searches.
Mm.
The engine, reportedly codenamed Dragonfly and designed for Android devices, would exclude content that isn't approved by the Chinese government, such as information on democracy, free speech, and protests, according to The Intercept.
Wow.
You don't think that they would have a version for the U.S. government at
Coming
some point.
Soon,
yeah, exactly. If they're going to sell it to one government, I'll bet you they sell it to others.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sources told the publication that prototypes for Dragonfly link the search app to the user's phone numbers, meaning that those who search for banned information could be interrogated or detained if security agencies got a hold of Google's search records.
Nice.
And there's more on this. It's kind of interesting. And
yeah, because Google's desperate to get back into China. And because they were kicked because Google early on would not participate with those censored searches, which was right. We don't want, you know, they should not do that.
God forbid they should search about freedom and democracy and whatever.
We don't want that to happen in China. Yeah. But so Google now is trying to work with the Chinese government, the communist Chinese government, to allow them to keep their people down. Go ahead, Bob. What else did you have?
Okay. So this is another one from CNET. It's another Google employees are reportedly resigning over China search efforts.
Mm-hmm.
The resignations follow a protest from over 1,000 Googlers last month over the project codenamed Dragonfly. Google employees unhappy with the search giant's efforts to re-enter China are resigning in protest, according to news reports published Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The company has been under intense scrutiny since The Intercept reported last month on Google's plans to build a
censored search engine.
Censored search engine, easier for you to say, for China. 8 years after initially retreating from the country.
Yeah.
At the time of the departure, Google co-founder Sergey Brin, who grew up in the Soviet Union, cited the totalitarianism of Chinese policies.
There you go.
The new search engine, reportedly codenamed Dragonfly, has also drawn criticism from Google's workforce.
Sure.
About 1,000 employees signed an open letter asking the company to be transparent about the project and to create an ethical review process for it that includes rank-and-file employees, not just high-level executives.
Mm-hmm. They want to know what they're building.
Exactly. Yeah. So at least 6 other employees have also resigned over Dragonfly, according to BuzzFeed.
Oh, 6? Yeah.
Well,
1,000 complained.
Some employees appear to be going to the next level by leaving the company. I jumped over a few paragraphs.
That's okay.
That includes Jack Paulson, a senior research scientist who worked at Google for more than 2 years. That must be a long time in that industry.
I guess.
According to articles by The Intercept and BuzzFeed, he was previously an assistant mathematics professor at Stanford, according to his LinkedIn profile, and tendered his resignation from Google on August 31st.
All right. Well, Google's having some issues there. I mean, you know, they want to work with the Chinese government, and you're going to have to either play ball or not. And I agree with those guys protesting. They want to know what they're building.
And we're building the empire.
Yeah.
Which is going to strike back.
Yeah, who knows? Well, they got rid of their little slogan there, do no evil. You know, now they're saying, do a little less evil.
They did that after
do some evil.
After they pulled out of China and decided they wanted to get back in.
Yeah. Yes, that's kind of nasty. We'll put the links up there for you on our website show, computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. Don and Andrew, hang on. And two lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And that is a geek theme, if I ever heard one, coming on the radio there. And a couple things for you. I wanted to make sure you guys realized that the company I was mentioning about Boston, it's called Starry Internet, S-T-A-R-R-Y. And it's the new 5G that they're trying to release in some of these buildings. And the funny thing is, too, that I should bring up is now there are whole towns and cities who are pre-blocking. So you know you've got towns and cities who will make sure that there's ordinances available to open this or that type of technology or this or that type of store. You know, there's big issues with the medical marijuana where you're going to place the device, the actual store. So they, you know, the planning and zoning folks are saying, well, you can put it here, you can put it there. They're kind of doing it ahead of time before it all comes into their city. Well, there's whole cities in towns in California, San Francisco area, which is supposed to be a high tech mecca, who are pre-blocking 5G because why? They're worried about cancer. So,
any excuse the lobbyists can come up with.
I guess. I mean, it's been disproven. It's been over and over again that cell phones don't cause cancer. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And now a new technology where you've got more of these little broadcast suckers all over the place that are going to be a little broadcasting, and people are freaking out again. Oh my goodness, we should make sure we block this technology so it doesn't cause cancer. Really? you're gonna stop technology that way? I don't know. But this company called Starry in Boston, check it out. They're putting these units all over their buildings and offering really high speed internet for all in $50. All wireless. But let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. I digress here. We got Don in Canton first. Don, what's up? You there, Don?
Oh, yeah. Just a question. Every once in a while, I'm running Windows 10 with Excel. I'm running an Excel spreadsheet. And what I'll get is I'll try to save it. I'll do some changes, try to save it. And I get an error message on the screen that says, file cannot be located. It doesn't exist. And a long path to the file that does exist shows up. And it's not a file that I created. It's got some weird, just unusual letters and numbers. And what I end up doing is sometimes I just close out, totally close down the computer, restart it, and I lose everything I've done. Mm. But the original file is still there. and I have to go from scratch. I think one time, it's happened more than once, I think one time I was able to maybe just do a restart, a restart, and the changes were there. But I guess my question is, am I picking up a temporary little virus, or is there something within the operating system that's just doing that?
Well, what version of Excel is it? Is it an old version of Excel?
No, it's the current 2016.
All right. I doubt it's a virus. I doubt it's a virus. I'm seeing a bunch of information here on this error. How about you, Bob? Are you finding anything?
Yeah, I see all sorts of them. And you can't, you're not trying to delete it. You're trying to save it.
Save it. So for me, I would think you'd have some sort of drive problem, corruption or something. However, this is all over the place when it comes to Microsoft. I've never seen this error myself, but plenty of people have seen it. It's also talking about, in some of these errors, talk about the fact that you might have the file open multiple times. Maybe you inadvertently opened it twice or something like that. Does that ring a bell for you?
That could be. It does say in the error message, it does say gives you a bunch of possibilities. It says the file
is in use.
Maybe already opened or something.
Yeah. That makes more sense to me, that you might have inadvertently opened the file, held it a little bit, and you think you're saving it, but you've got it open somewhere else. That could be it. If you want to hold a little bit down, we'll do a little more searching. We're coming up against the heartbreak already.
Okay.
So if you want to hold over a little bit, we'll talk further about it.
Okay.
All right. Sure. Hang on one sec. We're going to continue with Don, Andrew, and Chris. Hang on. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11. It's a full show, and then there's a lot of football coming up. But I think Dr. Lessie's going to be in for half an hour with Healthy Rounds, but then you get a whole ton of football. I'm trying to look at the thing. I think it's Oklahoma and Iowa State. So stick around for that. We'll be right back. And we are back. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Stick around. And lines are all jammed up this morning. Thank you very much for being there for us. And let's get right back to Don in Canton, who's got his issue saving as an Excel file. You still there, Don?
Oh, I'm still there, yeah.
All right. So we did some more research, and yes, what I had suggested, where you possibly are opening up the file twice is an option, but Bob found another one that you might be doing.
So I've got one here that says, files do not open in Excel, or file not found occurs when opened by double click. So.
Ah, okay.
So then they list the symptoms, and it says file name .xls could not be found. Check the spelling, verify the file name and the location is correct, that it has been renamed, moved, or deleted.
Right.
And then it gives a cause. Excuse me. Anyway, it gives a cause, and it gives you the resolution and the workaround, and there's some registry edits that you can put in that's supposed to fix it.
Right.
So we'll have a link to that.
That could try it. So
you're going to put out a link. You're going to put up a link to that.
Yep, we'll put a link for that for you to take a look at it. See if that's the cause. Obviously, make sure that you haven't opened it twice. That's another issue that most often happens. It could be corrupt. That's another thing that could be occurring. But most likely, it's a double click, something silly like that.
Double click. Okay, so that's on the WTI tab.com.
Close. The name of the show.com. Which also works. Oh. ComputerTalkWithTab.com. You can go to TabInc.com. You can get it from almost anywhere.
Okay.
If you put in Computer Talk with Tab, you'll get to our site.
I'll do that. I'll look at the link.
All right,
yeah,
Don.
I'm kind of a little reluctant to fool around with the
registry.
The registry, you know.
I don't blame you. I think it's more of your clicking that you're having issues with. So keep an eye on that.
Thanks again. Great information. Great show.
Thanks, Don, for being there.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's move on to Andrew in Glastonbury next. Morning, Andrew.
Good morning. I have a situation here where I filled out a resume, an application for employment online, and the application consists of 16 questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished that, and where on the line where it says upload resume, I uploaded 2 pages of my resume in 2 separate documents, I guess.
Yeah.
And I uploaded the first document. It read out on the little window, resume 2018, page 1, and then I uploaded page 2.
Yeah.
And it seems like it kicked out the page 1 and kept page 2.
Hmm.
But after page 2, it says JPEG.JPEG twice. So the system didn't accept
your resume.
Application.
Yeah.
Application. The error message says you can only upload following files: PDF, DOC, DOCX, MP3, WMA, MPG, FLV, JPG, ENG, GIF. So I called the employer, and the secretary said, "Oh, the system can only accept PDF. Is she wrong? The error message came out saying that JPG is also acceptable."
Yeah. So how many formats does it take to send a resume in? Right. It's getting crazy these days. PDF is probably the easiest way for you to submit the resume. So do you have a Word editor, or you can edit your resume in a Word document, or what have you? What are you using to edit your resume in?
I basically scanned my resume created a document in my computer system, two documents. I didn't use Word.
Okay, so you scanned your resume in, and then it created a JPEG of some kind.
Yes.
Which may have created a large file that it could be choking on.
Or it could have been a .png also.
Yeah, who knows what it created for the
TIFF.
Output. Yeah, it created a JPEG.JPEG, he said.
Oh, okay.
So I think that what you want to try, Andrew, is if you have a Word editor, either create your document cleanly and convert it to a PDF, a two-page PDF, by saving it as, and then you choose to format as PDF, or look at how you're scanning. So scanning can get a little hairy, especially if you scan it in high resolution. If you scan those documents in high resolution, what happens is they're very large. And the systems are going to balk at them. They don't want these monstrous files. They're really large because you can blow them up and put them on the side of a building because of the resolution. So you could try rescanning. And if you can choose the output as PDF and a low resolution, you might have better shot at having them accept the file. But I would definitely shoot for PDF, which is the Adobe format, if that's what she said. Do what she said, because you can't be the first guy with a problem uploading it.
So in other words, do I have to purchase this Adobe software?
Nope.
Or should it be in my 8.1 operating system?
The Adobe Reader is probably available to you on your computer already, but that's not your problem. When you scan it, you have to tell your scanner, create my file as a low-resolution PDF.
Okay.
If you don't do that, it has nothing. It's just going to produce a file that their system is balking on. Or you stop the scanning idea. You sit down and type it in to a Word editor of some kind, Word document editor, and save the file as a two-page PDF. So it's one file. If you load it as two separate files, that could also affect your ability to be hired because they may only look at one. You want it together, right? You want it as one document, not two.
Right.
So if you edit it in a Word editor of some kind, a document editor of some kind, and save it as a PDF, as a two-page PDF, you win.
But if I scan it again and create two PDF documents, should their system accept those two?
It might. Yeah, it might accept the two documents. Sure. It's just as long as they scan as a lower resolution and they scan as PDF, like she told you to do. Make sure you set those settings in your scanner. Try that. Yeah, that can't hurt. If it accepts it, that's fine.
Okay, very good. I think that's the answer then.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Great help.
All right. Good luck. Hope you get the job, man.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. LinkedIn is also very good for any kind of recruiting or any kind of information as far as getting your resume out there. You can upload your resume to LinkedIn and set up a profile. And it's a great tool. Let's move on to Joe in Berlin. Hey, Joe.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, when I go out to the use Firefox, and I'm getting a website block due to wristware.
Nice.
From Malwarebytes Premium.
Malwarebytes Premium?
Yeah.
They're saving you, Joe. You're trying to go someplace bad.
It says, this is Firefox site, looks like.
That's, well, it's interfacing with Malwarebytes, it looks like. You must have Malwarebytes on there, right?
Yes, I did.
So it's actually telling you it's Malwarebytes stopping you.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's not Firefox. If you used a different browser, it should do the same thing.
Okay.
And obviously, this is why we say, when I talk about filtering, I say you want to go to a site on purpose or by accident. I'm not sure where you're going, but wherever you're trying to go is a malicious site.
No, I'm just logging on. I'm not going to anywhere yet.
Uh-huh.
It's a part, looks like it says go... GoMaryThanks.com and
well, that doesn't
domain, and then it's Firefox is the site.
Well, GoMary something, whatever you're talking about, is clearly a malicious site, and it might be that your browser's been hijacked to be your homepage. So you might have gone somewhere. Your browser was hijacked to do that GoMary whatever site.com. And now Malwarebytes is saying, hey, buddy, if I send you here, it's malicious. So they're saving you.
Right, I understand that.
Okay, good.
But it's, this thing has been up on the top bar, this GoMary.
Yeah.
Thanks.com.
Yeah.
And then, but I haven't gone to any site.
Well, it's in your browser under the options. So it's pre-programmed. So the hijack took over your browser, and it put this website in there.
Right.
So that you would go there automatically.
So
Malwarebytes is saying, no, you're not going there because it's dangerous.
Right.
So what you need to do is go in under the options and get rid of that website under your homepage.
Oh, okay.
And clear your cache.
Okay. Yeah. Can you put that in the link, how to do that?
How to clear your cache in Firefox? Yes, we can do that for you. But also run Malwarebytes, if you could.
I did run Malwarebytes.
Say that again?
I did run Malwarebytes,
okay.
And it said I'm clean.
All right, good. So that's good. So you have no malicious software on your system. It's just protecting you from getting malicious software if you ended up going there.
Right.
So it's doing you a favor.
It's, what it's saying is malware, it says website blocked due to riskware.
Yeah.
And the riskware, when reading the description, says somewhere in the riskware or the Firefox, there may be something wrong.
Right, and that's where you're going to clear your cache. You're going to remove that Mary site. You've got something in your preferences within Firefox that's sending you to a site that's risky, and they're trying to protect you. So by clearing your cache, that'll probably help.
Okay.
That's
Thank you
hoping.
Very much.
You're welcome, Joe.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye. It's actually interesting. We have to go to a quick break here, but even in our client base, we use a very powerful filtration tool as well. And one of our clients was trying to get an email she thought was from a DocuSign where, you know, business could occur, where you have to sign this PDF document. And, you know, that a lot of their business is back and forth through this DocuSign system. Well, DocuSign has been hit pretty seriously when it comes to people spoofing or sending out phishing schemes. So our filtration service protected her and said, no, you can't go to this particular DocuSign configuration because it's malicious. And literally, she was upset with us because, of course, she wants this business. But we were trying to tell her, it's not real. it's malicious. The software we're using wouldn't tell you it's malicious if it wasn't. So we find ourselves having to explain, you know, to attorneys, to these folks and say, hey, guys, the reason you're not getting this message is not because it's we want to block it. It's because it's bad. It's not real. It's a malicious connection, and the service you have in place is actually saving you from a big mess. But it's hard for people to kind of get past the understanding that, you know, when you get these things in from people you think are legitimate, they may not be. So I got to be careful. Phishing schemes are pretty insidious. They've done a good job of trying to trick you into clicking on this stuff and introducing malware to your system. So you need a good web defense tool. Our clients have it in our client base, and you know, it works really well. And in this case, he's using a tool to protect him, and it's saving him from a big mess probably. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got Doug and Chris on the line. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And then coming in at 11:30 is Dr. Alessi with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And then Oklahoma against Iowa State. So stick around for that starting at 11:30. So a nice big football game for you. Let's go back to your calls. We're going to go to Doug. Chris is on the line longest. So we're going to go to Chris in Newington. Not sure why he's not up first, though. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Doing fine.
Hi.
The question I have is about audio recording and radio recording in Android.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with the TuneIn app.
TuneIn, yeah, we don't use it anymore at WTIC, but yes, I've heard of it.
Yes, that's the problem. I had TuneIn, and I paid extra for the TuneIn Pro,
yep.
Which enables you to actually, it's essentially like a DVR for radio.
Okay.
You could set up times to record, and then if you were listening to radio, you could actually pause it, or if the phone call came in, it would pause it for you, and then you could pick it up.
Yep.
And it would have like about a 30-minute buffer, but if you recorded something, you could record for, I don't know, I guess as long as your phone could hold the audio.
That's neat.
And it was really cool because I was able to listen to 1080 and other CBS stations that way. But, of course, as you mentioned now, we're not on TuneIn anymore.
Right.
And not just 1080, but a bunch of CBS stations.
Right.
So I was wondering if you or any of your friends might know of any effective third-party apps that could record radio in a way like I just described, essentially almost like a DVR for radio on your cell phone.
All right, yeah, it's a fair question. We can try to find something for you. It looks like DirecTV offers it, a DVR for radio.com. You wouldn't happen to have DirecTV, would you?
I don't.
Okay, but they do offer it. But we can look at others that offer the service for radio.com. But right now, that's the only one I see. We can throw it out to the listeners. You are a true radio junkie like me, too. So
yes.
To actually record radio is awesome. Obviously, you've got podcasts that are already pre-recorded, but you're looking for the whole stream.
Yeah, well, not only that, but there are also, if there's other streaming content that might not be on a traditional radio station's website,
yep.
that I could set up to record if I'm not available to listen to it at the actual time it's on, and then maybe kind of be able to catch up after, after I come back. If I join it like an hour late, I could go back to the beginning.
Actually,
what would help is if these programs would just post their recordings up like an hour at a time instead of waiting for the whole show to end. So you can't really join in progress. You got to wait for it to end.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a first world problem, of course. But I knew the technology existed when I had it through TuneIn, so I just didn't know if you were familiar with any other apps on Android that would accomplish something similar.
Well, we'll look for you, and we'll throw it out to the listeners, because you can't be the only guy out there doing it. So if the listeners know of a DVR-style radio recorder for Chris, either email us at gethelp@tabinc.com or give us a ring this morning, and maybe there's something out there. I'm looking now, and the only thing I see is DirecTV. Is offering a way to do that, but that may not be. You don't want to go necessarily to buy DirecTV to solve that problem. So let's see if we can find a third party.
Now, to save everybody a little bit of time, there are a lot of the voice recorder apps that you can get will record whatever's on your phone at the time, but it'll also pick up anything that your phone's microphone will have. So, like, if your phone rings, it'll pick up your phone ringing if there's a conversation going on.
Oh.
So I think this is considered, because the research I've done on it is. You're basically looking to record the phone's internal audio, and there are stream video recorders out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one that I was able to find that actually can record internal audio without any interference from the outside.
Right, and that was the TuneIn.
That's called this is separate from that. It's called MobiZen, but it's basically for people who want to record their video games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it effectively does part of what I'm looking for, but if you enable it to record internal sound,
yep.
then it cuts out your speakers, now you can't hear while it's recording. And my guess is they don't want people stealing music, right? Like all Napster type thing. But probably why it's not readily available. But
well,
anyway.
We'll put it out there. I don't have any experience with it, but maybe somebody else does, and we'll go from there.
Thank you.
Hey, nice talking to you, Chris.
Thank you, too. Thank
all right. Bye-bye. So if you guys know anything out there for Chris that does any kind of DVR of radio, I'm also looking for a service that'll allow for closed captioning, live closed captioning of podcast. That would be kind of nice too for folks, especially for folks who are hearing impaired, to have the closed captioning out there. But I haven't really found anything yet that does that. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Doug and Joyce, hang on. We'll get to your calls. Two lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back.